With any huge historical event, culture changes. World War II is certainly one of those moments in our history, but it wasn't only industrial or scientific change. The way Americans cooked and ate fundamentally changed as well.
This is Julia Child. Bon appetit.
Love that. Delicious.
Enjoy.
As we continue our week-long look at all things food, Chris Cook, chief restaurant and wine critic at Our Detroit Magazine, joins us. Hello, Chris.
Nice to be back.
Give us a sense. What might you think of when, if we were sitting down at the American dinner table, let's say in 1936, what might we be eating?
Well, probably the standard turkey and stuffing. And I think that Thanksgiving in America has always represented one of the high points of eating. And so if you look at it that way, it was complex. It would have any number of vegetables. It would have pies with it, pretty much the same kind of Thanksgiving that we see today. What people were eating on a daily basis, however, was something entirely different.
Mm-hmm.
And that was very simple. A lot of stuff out of cans, sandwiches, and nothing particularly complex. But as World War II comes along, all this begins to drift into a different direction because you've got these kids, and they're not just urban kids. They're kids from farms and all over the place, going abroad, having terrible battle experiences, but at the same time, particularly as the war begins to wind down, they're getting exposure to new and different ways of eating, and particularly, I think, in the European theater.
I would suspect that would be true.
Yeah, and so you're seeing GIs who are, some of them are falling in love with farm girls in France and marrying them, and so they marry into the culture too. And they're bringing the thought of that and the memory of that back here.
And they were in many of them prior to D-Day were cooling their heels and training in England, so you had that exposure as well.
Yeah, I don't know how much we can say about English food, however.
The pub culture, perhaps.
somebody once said, the British eat the way that way because they like it.
But then when you think about the home front during the war, there was rationing and coupons. Did that make the impact that we, in retrospect, think it might have? Were people really having to do without?
Well, I think that's definitely part of it, yes. And so, if anything, it creates a yearning for other things also. Mm-hmm. You do what you can with what you've got. And in a lot of cases, I think it made them adventurous. Let's not forget around Michigan, we were very influenced by the Italians and the Germans and all the and then eventually the Southerners who came up, African-American Southerners who brought certain foods up here to us. And those were... Those became very much mainstays of the restaurant scene in Detroit and in southwest Michigan.
Because you had these people coming up for the Arsenal of Democracy and keep these factories rolling.
Exactly.
So what kinds of things did we see? The things we take for granted now for Italian food or soul food or Southern cooking?
Yes. I think I don't think there's been a huge shift in that. And, you know, even some of the establishments that came around right after the war particularly – like Cafe Roma down in the Eastern Market is still going. It's one of the few, but it does represent that era. And if you go there, it's still sort of very different Italian food than what you're going to get when you go out to, say, an Andiamo or other places like that, which are much more, call it modern and northern. The older stuff was Southern and Sicilian primarily, so... which was simpler and poorer food and poorer cuts of meat. They do very well with cheap cuts of meat rather than a nice 3-inch veal chop, which nobody in an Italian grandmother's house would ever eat. I mean, this was not the kind of food they cooked with even. So
didn't have the money for that. So these soldiers, the men and women, the millions of them come home from both the Pacific and the European theaters and get married and the babies start. And that's where we got the baby boom generation. And there's more economic opportunity. How did all of that change the way we regarded food?
We started into our post-war industrial might. I mean, this is where America really does take off. I mean, it's the auto industry just going absolutely crazy. And then that brings disposable income, which brings the second homes and the boats and that kind of thing. But it brings one other thing, too. You've got the GI Bill, you've got government loans, and you've got the opportunity to travel. And it's the children of those people who went through World War II who suddenly are become the discoverers, the backpackers who go to Europe. And in 1948, a transatlantic flight on Pan Am used to take about 27 hours because it had to stop and refuel in Iceland and God knows where.
Isn't that amazing?
By 1958, that radically changes with the introduction of the Boeing 707, and it turns into an 8-hour flight. And I think that, to me, is where these changes in American culture are going to come from slowly, because the kids go over to Europe and they want to have something different when they come back. And they've tried the French baguette, and then they're going off to college and they're getting involved in the 1960s. Mm. And the 1960s was a really interesting time, as we all know.
Yes, we do.
But out of the 1960s comes this. That experience of going to Europe, you know, drop out, fall out, all that
turn
kind of thing.
On, tune in, drop out.
Exactly. results in them coming back, and the marijuana plant on the porch suddenly is planted to basil because food experiences are in there. And I think that that's the generation, that's my generation, really.
Well, mine too.
Where we begin to, then you see the importation of the $18 bottle of olive oil, and that's coming on the store shelves.
So this is when the foodie culture began in America.
Right.
Also in the 1950s, Chris Cook, we saw the food industry made new advances. Isn't it true in terms of frozen and convenience foods that were certainly not even thought of? Canned goods were about it in the 1930s before the war.
Right, and that was convenience, and so you got closer to freshness on things. Another thing that people are now demanding at that point, because they're trying to get the freshness experience that they got in foods when they were in Europe or in our case in the States, the way that grandma used to make it back on the farm, because there were lots of things that came off of the farm. People knew the freshness, but they didn't know what you could do with the product once you had it, and that's where that begins to change. People are getting interested in making risottos and things like this, and so they're demanding that freshness. And here is where the other thing comes along in American culture. And I think, oddly, it comes along at sort of through frozen food, but in the post-frozen food to fresh food era. It's that we become a culture that no longer just simply wants to eat for the sake of replenishing our energy. We now are interested in having an experience that is going to sort of tickle our soul.
Entertainment.
It's entertainment, but it's an aesthetic. Food becomes aesthetic instead of just being replenishing. And that's where I think America passes over. And that comes in the end of the 60s and the early 70s, when that $18 bottle of olive oil is now on the shelf and those kind of things. And from there, we continue to make all these changes. And to the point where now in the Detroit area, for instance, there are all these wonderful chefs that I've identified as the Young Turks who are coming in, and they're doing very brief menus, exquisite food, small restaurants, places like Torino and Marais in Grosse Pointe. And, you know, I was at one just last week, Café Muse, which has been around for a long time.
One of my favorites. I went to that one. It was tiny. It wasn't even in the current location.
Right.
Yeah. In fact, we took a French friend who said, this is the most sophisticated food I've had since I've been in America.
Yeah. Yeah. And we have a lot of that going on here now. And what's going on now is we're creating, or these guys are creating, the American menu. And that really, to me, is what makes this exciting.
A fascinating journey, and as always, it's such a pleasure to talk with you. Chris Cook, Chief Restaurant and Wine Critic at Our Detroit Magazine. Bon appétit.
Bon appétit, and thank you.